We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know. And then Garoppolo shows up. And okay, now, what will you say about his play this time?
Well, there's no doubt. When he goes out and he executes like that, he stabilizes the 49ers offense more than Mullins, more than C.J. Beathard can be counted on to do it. Or asked to do. When he stays within himself and gets that ball out within under 3 seconds, Kyle right. Shanahan has his on-field coach. It really, you know what he is? He's a more glamorous Alex Smith in many ways.
Yeah. But you know what? And it's something that Kirk talked about the other day, because remember, when Mullins first played, Kirk came on and said, hey, you know, I may even play Mullins over Garoppolo, and he liked this game. But he was talking about sometimes you can have such a great coach, and you guys do. Shanahan's one of the best. He's such a great coach that he's always right in play calling. And the quarterback can get so used to it that he finds himself falling in love with the first option because the coach is always so great at play calling. And it's a detriment to the development sometimes of the guys that should be going through a process, which I thought that was fascinating. You know what I mean? I thought that was fascinating. And now I can look and see, okay, do I think a guy's really starting to learn and go through a process that he's reading things out and playing it and not just hearing it by what coach is saying. And I was looking for that. And I definitely think that Garoppolo has that, but Shanahan is such a great coach. I think he leans on it sometimes too much.
Do you get the sense, following up on what you just said, that Garoppolo is a guy who will do whatever he's told by his coach, but is not in and of himself a particularly good improviser?
Well, I won't say he's not, well, not good at improvising to the fact that to the place where that's when trouble starts. Yes, that's when trouble starts, when you improvise it. Now, there's a difference between improvising and going through the process of a read. You see what I mean? Sometimes, because you don't know how to go through that process of a read, you fall back on improvising and doing all kinds of things. But you want to learn how to go through that process. And that's how you become I think, like Kirk was talking about, one of the great quarterbacks. I want him to say sometimes, let's go for the big thing. Let's go up top. And what we see in Mahomes and all these other guys, this is what's blowing everything for us because we want everybody to be Patrick Mahomes. We want everybody to be Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that comes around but once in a lifetime.
Moving to the wide receiver position, I mean, so much of what the Niners do is just putting it in the hands of guys like Deebo Samuel and asking them to make a play. What goes through your head as a former receiver when you see a guy like Deebo seeking out contact and just punishing people?
And I love that. Remember we talked about that? Now, I'm telling you something. Ayuk is not a huge guy, but he's tough too. It's that toughness, and they play hard on the little reverses. And I love that. I love that Shanahan does that. And I'm going to tell you that's what Stefanski's learning too out in Cleveland. You see how he's incorporating Odell and all of those reverses, because these are the coaches that, okay, they want to run the football. They want to run the football, but you got personalities and talent at the wide receiver position. You got to make sure you get them involved and giving them those opportunities. Like, we never really, when I say we never really ran reverses or anything like that. You never did that. But now with all the misdirection and the eye candy that's going on and pre-shifts, it becomes something big in the league.
There is an awful lot of eye candy out there, pre-snap motion. It's just everywhere. And the best teams in football are embracing it the most. They really, truly are. We've got Michael Irvin joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Jason Verrett is a guy who battled back from several different injuries to get his body all the way right to play what has got to be one of the most demanding positions in all of football. I mean, corners got to run with their hips all swiveled. I mean, their knees, their ankles, their shins, everything's got to be adding up to running fast in all directions to be incredibly effective. And this young man looks all the way back, Michael. His interception was as big of a defensive play as any Niners made this year in the end zone.
It was, and that was an incredible play and an incredible story, you know, because when Chris was talking, they were talking about him and how, you know, he wanted to get his confidence getting back up and everything. And you could see, like, some of those things, you could tell he studies film. You could tell he's jumping things. He knows where it's going. He peeled off because that's a quick D corner combination that they're running. You know, they try to run a guy right down the line of scrimmage quick, and the corner's supposed to come up on the receiver in front of him because he has to play him, and he gets to throw that ball right in the corner behind him. But he knew that. He knew that. And he was in position to make the tackle if they threw the quick ball. But then as soon as he saw the ball release, he turned. He clued and got a jump on that interception. It was a great job. It was a great job. And it shows you that he is – like they said, getting his confidence back, where he's reading and believing what he sees and reads.
Based on what you saw last night, how did the 49ers not only take Aaron Donald out of the game, but basically took their entire defensive line out of the game? Was it simply just a function of running the ball and quick stuff out, you know, not lingering in the pocket? Or did they do anything particularly exotic that only somebody who's played the game would have been able to pick out?
And that's a great question. That's a great question. And I was trying to ascertain that as I watched, you know, as I watched, because Chris kept talking about it, and he would show the double team sometimes, and even would show what Kittle's kind of sitting back there and waiting to see if they come through this. You got to go through me too, you know. But then sometimes it was just one-on-one. It was just one-on-one, and it was still winning that one-on-one matchup with Aaron Donald. So I think it was a little bit of both. I think sometimes it's scheme, because if you're starting off early and you just see double team, triple team, double team, triple team, double team, double team, triple team, it takes a little sting off of you after going for a while doing that. And then after you take a little sting off, maybe you take a little few more chances and single him up. So I would say it was a little bit more of scheming. And the guys just played better.
I want to jump to the Titans-Texans game, which was incredibly exciting. But fundamentally, when Derrick Henry, at his size, obviously he's going to punish some people running in between the tackles. But then when he can also run away from you, how do you stop a guy that big and fast?
I know. It's incredible. He got another 90-something yard touchdown run. You know what I mean? That big of a dude, you know, he runs, he hits that upright run. It reminds you a lot of Eric Dickerson, but just some more size. But he's just an incredible dude, man. That's an incredible runner. That's an incredible runner. Now, I should just let it go, because the real truth is, Tannehill with Arthur Brown, A.J. Brown, that makes that a very good team. Because A.J. Brown, when he's back with Tennessee, that makes it a very good team now. You guys You want to go where you want to go. We're going to see Tennessee again. Tennessee will be in it.
So is Andy Dalton about to make the Dallas Cowboys a team that looks like the team that we saw before Dak got hurt? Might he actually, in a weird way, improve that? What are you expecting when the red shotgun shows up to start calling plays for the Cowboys?
Hey, listen, and you know, it's so amazing how we get now. Let's just break this down. I'm an analyst that's analyzed, you know, and now everybody's so, they got the best backup in the league, and Andy Dalton here, and Andy Dalton this, and the Cowboys may be able to do this with Andy, and may be able to, let's remember where Andy was in Cincinnati. Let's remember who got the first pick. It was Cincinnati. The team that Andy led got that first pick. Now, he has more talent, you know, I believe, here offensively, but there are a lot more weaknesses here defensively, you know. And I heard Andy the other day say he wants to keep the offense the same. Like, you know, Dak was throwing for 370-something yards a game. There's no way Andy's going to do that. If he does do it, it cannot be with air yards where he's throwing it. It has to be with yak yards, with short passes and the receivers yards after catch, yak yards. But I can't put – I don't know. I got to – as a fan, I got to just attach my faith to it. But as an analyst, don't bite that. Don't bite them donuts.
Let me follow up with this then, because, you know, there's an awful lot of talk about what Jerry is going to do to make right Dak Prescott after the compound fracture. As well as you know Jerry and the Cowboys and Dak, what is the right thing for them to do with him going forward?
You know, and this thing bothers me greatly here. You know, really, it had me dealing with some little bouts of trying to bat off, a little bit of depression hitting me because I just love the kid so much, you know. I really do. He's a good young man. I still call him a kid. I'm just an old man. But a good man. He's a good man. And I can't believe that, like, you had a shoulder 1 year. Most people would have said, let's make sure we get something done. It didn't get done. There is no what can Jerry do to make it right. And everybody, Jerry and those guys are saying the right thing. We are, that's our future. We're with Dak. But we're going to take the rest of this year. We're going to take the intel that comes in the rest of this year before you make any decision. And the intel will have a bearing. What if Andy Dalton reels off some wins here? Does that not lessen Dak's leverage? Now they couldn't come to an agreement before. You think Dak's going to say, or Dak's representative, this is not written in stone that this thing's going to play out and Dak's going to return, because you never know. Because the intel that will be taken from him from henceforward to the end of this season will make a difference. If they lose every game and Trevor Lawrence is sitting there, you don't know what's going to happen. It sounds good and everybody's saying the right thing, but we don't know.
Let me ask a hypothetical. You have lived a terrible life. You die and you come back as a wide receiver for the New York Jets. At what point in this season do you ask, do you demand a trade?
You know, football players, man, let me tell you something. We believe no matter where we go, we can make the difference. We can make the change. And you have to believe that, especially if you're going to a place that hasn't done a whole lot of winning lately. You know what I mean? Okay, Bear. Okay, buddy.
I think someone's breaking in your house, Michael. You might want to go take care of that.
No, listen. Bear is a dog. Bear barks only at me. Only at me in this house. Now, I live here, my lady, you know, her mom, sister. I'm the only guy in the house. It's me. And Bear. And he only barks at me. I said, Bear, I pay all the bills, Bear. Why are you going to be barking at me in my own house? Like, come on, come on, Bear. Come on. All right, I'm coming. I'm on the phone. So, but yeah. So no, I would change the Jets. I would win. I really do believe if I was there, I would win. That's why it's hard for me to believe they would get rid of a guy like Jamal Adams, because that's what he believes. And you need people like that. That's why you don't see guys running away when they first get there, because they think, I'm going to be the one that's changed this. And it's a great change. It's a great challenge.
I thought Cam Newton would change the fortunes of the New England Patriots. That certainly turned out not to be the case. That is as bad a loss as I can remember a Belichick team taking. How do you explain losing to the Broncos?
And here's what's hard to explain. That Tennessee misses all those practices and play that way. Yeah. And the great Bill Belichick team is missing practices and play the way they played it and say, yeah, you know, we understand we didn't have any practice. But that's what it is. That's what it is. And they did. And Cam did not look good. And they do. That's just what they said. They need the time. They need that time to work. And there's something that's attached more to them in their confidence and everything when they hit the field, because that's what Bill Belichick has engraved in them.
The Michael Irvin Podcast is out now wherever you download your podcast from. You can find it there. I know in your latest episode, you got together with your old coach, Jimmy Johnson. Now, when you're talking to Coach Johnson, is that your Cowboys coach or is that still your college head coach? When you dream of Jimmy, is he in Hurricane colors or is he in Cowboy colors?
Hey, Jimmy's both for me. Jimmy's both. I came into Miami as a young kid, and Coach, it was his first year also, you know, and I just lost my father. So for me, it's both. I remember those Miami days, you know, and I remember the great days and the great things that he did here in Dallas with me and for us. So I would always see him with that. I hold him in high esteem. So both. But as he and I always say, college, we made money for people. At least in Dallas, we made us some money. You know what I'm saying? So it all worked out.
Well, I tell you, enjoy hanging out with your old coach. Obviously, the podcast gives us a little peek behind the curtain of your relationship. Thank you for having a relationship with us, man. It's always great to talk to you. We appreciate your time, as always, and I'll even put it out there. Good luck to your Cowboys tonight, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, man, it's going to be something, but we'll watch it and see now. Let's watch it and see. Because Andy has been put on this Dallas Cowboys hype train, and if you listen to people, Andy's gold right now. And I'm like, let's wait. Can we get a few games in here? Can we hit a few games? It's just not the reality. So let's see what happens tonight.
The one and only Michael Irvin, NFL Network, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker. And he comes to us here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of Audi Marin and VW Marin. And we really appreciate the sponsorship. And Michael is fantastic, as always, here with an appearance, a co-guest appearance with Bear the Dog, who only has a problem with one person. And that's the person that we talked to during the Michael Irvin interview. The problem is with Michael Irvin.
I think that is traditional for... Yeah, I think that's traditional for most dogs. They like women, they hate men. And they do not understand the concept of who pays the bills. I can assure him of that.
Irrelevant.
So waving the electric bill at him, hoping that he'll stop barking, really is a loser's game.
Look at what I do for you. Look at this. All the vittles. Dog doesn't care. Dog doesn't care.
Look what you do for me. Now do some more.
Whoever feeds the animal, that's who gets the love. It's
that's
the actual...
Right.
It's not who puts the food in the cabinet. It's who puts the food in the bowl. That's where the loyalty lies.
That's simply not true. I feed our dog, and he looks at me every day like I owe him money.
Well, you're a special case, Ray. Only someone who spends that much time with you could understand that relationship.
Or anybody who just knows of the name, really.
Wet food or dry food, Ray? Which way do you go?
Combination of the two.
Ooh, you care. That's a man who loves his dog.
Oh, no. Once again, you have misapplied the standard here. I put the food in the bowl. I do not declare what the menu is.
The family loves the dog. Ray just works here.
If it were up to me, that dog would be on a rocket to the sun.
My dog is also spoiled with a mix of wet and dry food. The spoiled brat.
I'll say this. My wife had the dog before she had me. And this thing came as well-trained. Like, I felt good about having a child with Jillian just based on how well the dog was behaved. She never, not once to this day, has fed the dog a scrap from the table. And this is a dog that doesn't beg for food from the table, which is a rare, incredible breed, if you don't mind me saying. The non-begging, non-food-motivated dog.
Your wife is out of the room. When your wife is out of the room, he is at your ankles waiting for scraps.
No. Here's the thing.
He hasn't had the scrap parade because you'll cave in. You'll give the dog a scrap, and that secret will go to his grave because he doesn't want your wife mad at him either.
Here's the thing. I've never given in. I'm like, okay, if this is the rule is giving us a good dog. We're going to stay with the good dog rule. Jack, however, could care less. And he throws things down to the ground to feed the dog, and Rex has now got a level of snacking and noshing from the floor nirvana that he's never had until Jack showed up on the scene. So
yeah, I had my dog before my wife had me. So this dog, of course, is not well trained at all and begs constantly for everything. And the good news is he still kind of likes me. Although he has definitely transferred some of that. Like at night, he goes and curls up next to my wife, but he still likes me enough to not bark in my face.
There you go. Well, Michael Irvin, maybe next time we can separate, put like a couple floors in the house between him and the dog. Maybe put the dog outside, just throwing that out there. It's not a big request, but it's one that we might make during the week. Anyways, it was great to have Michael Irvin on. How about this? We're having just a day of Michaels. Michael Irvin, Al Michaels joined us earlier in the day. Fantastic stuff. I know that we got one more interview coming up around 5:30 tonight. We're going to have Rich Ornberger, a former offensive lineman doing an awful lot of broadcasting work now. How did Daniel Brunskill get ready to have the biggest day of his afternoon against as big of an opponent as he's going to face all season long? How do you get trounced by the Dolphins, yet hold the Rams and Aaron Donald and company at bay for an entire afternoon? I don't get it. Hopefully it's a sign that things are moving in the right direction. Dare we say, hopefully that's the direction things are heading in. When we come on back, we're opening it up, though, to the phones. That was a hell of a game. So what did we learn from last night's game? What did we learn, if anything, about the Niners? Because it seems like whatever you learn one week, you got to throw it out the next to explain that game. It is hard to look at something and count on it week to week to week. What did we learn? What do we think we know? What can we prove about the San Francisco 49ers, who are back at 500 with a 3-3 record? 888-957-9570 is our number. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, and we are brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah.
Join AAA with automatic renewal and add loved ones for 50% off so they enjoy battery replacement, flat tire service, and more from AAA, America's most recommended roadside assistance. Limited time offer. Conditions apply. Visit AAA.com/50 for details.
Switching and saving with your local GEICO agent sure is easy. Even easier than binge-watching a bad TV series. You watch one just to make fun of it. But after you've watched one, you need one more. And another, then you stop and think, this might be a waste of time. Better watch one more just to be sure. So yeah, GEICO. Contact your local agent and see how easy savings can be.
Fellas, it's your boy Guru. Want to bring the honeymoon to your bedroom? If you're ready to take your performance to the next level, you gotta go BlueChew.com so you can chew it and do it. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Plus, you don't gotta go to the doctor's office, wait in the line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's online physician consultation's free. Once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. You and your boo are gonna love BlueChew. All right, then. Ready to give BlueChew.com a try? Let me hook you up. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use my special promo code GURU. Just pay $5 shipping. That's B-L-U-E chew.com promo code GURU. You heard me right. You'll get your first order free when you go to bluechew.com and use my special promo code GURU. Just pay $5 shipping. That's B-L-U-E chew.com promo code GURU.
Listen to sports' biggest newsmakers on 95.7 The Game's Guest Line. Brought to you by Bay Area Chevrolet Dealers. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com.
The 2020 presidential race is upon us. The stakes couldn't be higher, and the outcome might not be clear till long after everyone has voted. Many are predicting a repeat, or worse, of the 2000 election. That year, the presidency came down to a polarizing recount in Florida that ended at the U.S. Supreme Court.
We were faced with an attempted soft coup.
Listen to Fiasco, a Luminary original from the team that brought you Slow Burn. Available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
See it online before you try it on our hand. Hi, this is Ronnie Heller, president of Barron's, the Bay Area's largest bridal jewelry store in Dublin. At barronsjewelers.com, view our largest selection of bridal jewelry ever. Nearly 4,000 rings. Go online, choose designers and styles. But come into Barron's because what really matters is how the ring looks on her hand. Go to barronsjewelers.com, then visit the all-new Barron's in Dublin in the Hacienda Crossings. Barron's, a legacy of elegance.
What's hot for business this week at Staples?
Small prices, big savings.
Help your business go big with amazing prices on everything you need to pack and ship.
Right now at Staples, save 20% on UPS expedited shipping services. Plus, save up to 30% on select shipping supplies.
Shop in-store or get same-day delivery through Instacart and save big at Staples.
Ends 10/31. While supplies last, in-store only. See store for details. Instacart fees, taxes, and or tips may apply. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
You like your burger medium well, your peanut butter crunchy, and your mattress firm. It's the little things that make you, you. And you deserve a Medicare plan that fits your unique needs. That's why UnitedHealthcare is offering more plan options than ever, so you can find just the right plan for you. Call 1-800-362-8715. That's 1-800-362-8715 to get Medicare with more. Remember, Medicare annual enrollment ends December 7th.
Walgreens has always been there to help make your healthcare easier. From making sure you have the prescriptions you need to answering any questions you have about them. Now, we're here to help make Medicare easier, too. Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many plans, including UnitedHealthcare, which can mean copays as low as $0 for you. Talk to a Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, we make Medicare easy. $0 copay on Tier 1 generic drugs when enrolled in a plan with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Walgreens accepts other plans.
Save up to $1,400 with the purchase of a qualifying Miele appliance package. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or at friedmansappliance.com.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, the Monday after the 49ers restore a little bit of credibility to their season with a win that checked a few boxes we needed to see checked if we were going to go forward talking about aspirations, team goals, a possible playoff appearance. Like, without a much improved play from the offensive line, without real improvement in cornerback play, without real improvement in terms of offensive scheme, things weren't going fast this year. And things started moving back again in the better direction thanks to yesterday's win over a division rival. Now they've got to take this show on the road against New England, which, again, after this week, looks a bit more doable, no doubt about it, than it did just a week ago coming off the Dolphins' loss. So things are starting to head in the right direction, and if this offense is going to continue to head in the right direction, it's going to have to follow the offensive line. And Kyle Shanahan talked about the play of that unit after yesterday's game.
Yeah, I thought the O-line had a hell of a game. Always wait to see the film, but I thought they cleared a bunch of good lanes for our backs. I thought they protected very well versus very good front. and results, I think, speak for themselves. So they did a hell of a job.
Guys, you could see it right away. I said early indicator, first two series, just watch the negative space that is the line of scrimmage. If that move is if that pretend line is moving backwards early, long day. If it's not, hey, you're in a football conversation. And the Niners took over the conversation early, up 14-0. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, it's amazing how much easier life gets when you get a 2-touchdown lead early. That is, unless you're the Detroit Lions. But no, they were able to do what they wanted the way they wanted to do it for an extended period of time. And by the time that ran out, it was too late for the Rams to do anything about it because they did not play well, really, in any phase. I mean, they were okay, but they were not okay for too long a time, and they paid for it.
Yeah, that game plan was a huge part of this. And you know, like you said, who would have thunk they'd come out and go up 14-0? Well, maybe if we hadn't seen the previous week or 2 weeks, we might have thought it, right? Because we know this is sort of the game plan. What was surprising was they hadn't executed the game plan very well in a little while, and the Rams had been executing theirs to perfection. So the fact that execution sort of flipped between these two teams was the surprise. Once we saw that was happening, I think this kind of went to plan.
Consistency is hard to find. Ray's brought it up. You've talked about it, Matt. It's hard to find not only in the 49ers locker room. It's hard to find in any NFL locker room, even if you're pointing at a team's strength, saying, this is the team's strength. There is no doubt about it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to show up week to week the way that it used to. You cannot set your clock by a few units just doing the exact same thing week in, week out. Not anymore, anyways. And maybe it just feels that way. Maybe I'm assuming a little bit too much. But how about this for a stat that I heard Uncorked? And I can't remember if it was Uncorked on the Sunday night game or if I was just watching Red Zone and it kept on being brought up. Each week in this league, a team has blown a 16-point lead so far this week. 16-point lead, when I was growing up, was good night, Irene, au revoir, game over. That's all she wrote. Not anymore. Defenses are bending and breaking. Offenses are just coming all game long, every possession, each week. A team established a 16-point lead and blew it. What, we have the Bengals up 21-0 on the Colts this week? They lose? I mean, come on. It's nuts out there. It's not the NFL we grew up watching as kids. Not even close. It's not even close. And it's not just a theoretical difference. Like, it's a everything is different now difference. I mean, there are points in ways that we've never seen. And it's not just all coaching. It's a little bit of bad defense as well.
It's a little bit of bad defense. It's a little bit holding calls are still way down after 6 weeks, mm-hmm. which makes it easier for offenses. Some of it is the existence of the Detroit Lions, who only yesterday did they hold a double-digit lead to win the game.
Golf clap.
I mean, they literally, the Jaguars had them right where they wanted them, down 17. But they couldn't turn it around in the second half and got boat raced. But that's the first time since last year, and I think it's 7 games. So some of that stat is being supplied solely by the Lions. But it's still true. It just leads are no longer safe, and teams have to start getting used to the idea that you have to run up scores to stay alive.
There is no taking 3-0 bases loaded anymore. You swing it away.
Yeah, if there's anything to take away from that crazy Titans-Texans game, that's it, right? Like, that's not the game I expected to see there, but even the Titans' defense isn't that good. I know they didn't get into the end zone, but Bill Belichick is supposed to have a pretty talented defense, and we know he's probably the best defensive coach we've ever seen. And the Broncos move the ball all day with Drew Lock at quarterback and go ahead, try to name one of their wide receivers. So, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, fine, but he's a
Jerry
rookie.
Jeudy.
There is no defense in this league right now that looks capable of turning in an effective performance every week.
Did you see what Vrabel did last night?
Yes.
Vrabel
the penalty.
Intentionally stopped the clock without burning a timeout with an intentional 12-man on the field because he knew that there was no stopping Deshaun Watson and the Texans from scoring there. So he just wanted to stop the clock, and then he was right. His defense bent, and he had enough time left to score with 3 seconds left. I mean, like, Vrabel saw it coming, and just like Bill Belichick, knew how to manipulate a clock without even manipulating a clock. I mean, like, it was that's some A-plus coaching out of Mike Vrabel in that situation.
Vrabel as a football genius. It's not a story I saw coming.
Yeah, it's but he stole that literally from Uncle Bill.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Uncle Bill used to do that too,
yep.
And Uncle Bill went crazy when Vrabel did it to him last year.
Oh
no,
yeah.
No, hold on, Bill. I don't think Bill Belichick ever took a deliberate 12-man on the field penalty, did he?
No, he's taken others though, because I read up on it. He's taken
deliberate false starts.
I mean, he's found ways to take 5-yard penalties to stop the clock.
But they
and I have a feeling
but
that
I think.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that's what's so genius about this is they closed the loop after he did it last year, Vrabel. So somehow, even though they closed the loop on the penalties he was taking last year to manipulate the clock, he found a different one this year. I mean, to know specifically when you're going to use a goofy thing like that, it's just, there's a level of football savant to it that I just did not see coming from Mike Vrabel.
Good lawyers are looking for loopholes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your lawyer is not looking for a loophole for you, you need a new lawyer.
Yeah, like, don't you figure, I mean, I just picture Mike Vrabel watching some other game and seeing a 12-man on the field penalty and going, interesting, that stopped the clock in a way, or like that manipulated the clock in a way that could be useful to me down the road. And the sort of genius it takes to recognize that and then have the wherewithal to use it when, especially late in the game, you have so much going on as a head football coach, it's really impressive.
It really, really was. Impressive was the Niners' offensive line last night. Jimmy Garoppolo talked about the protection he enjoyed on Sunday Night Football.
Man, I thought the O-line as a whole just did a phenomenal job. In the run game, it started with the run game, and then the pass game, I mean, the pockets were clean all night. There was a couple third downs where I held the ball for a little extra long. Just the coverage was good, and they didn't get near me. I didn't get hit very much. Felt great coming out of this game. It was when the O-line plays like that, I mean, it sets a tone for our whole offense, and they did it tonight.
They certainly did do it. They got it done, and that offensive line, again, their best day up front of the entire season. Not only did the team rush for 122 yards on 37 carries, they gave up 0 sacks on 33 pass attempts. Mike McGlinchey, for the first time all year, he was the highest graded out 49er of the entire afternoon. Mike McGlinchey had himself the game we had not seen and really needed to see. How about this? You didn't use Mike McGlinchey's name yesterday, not once, did you? That's a good game. That right there is a good. When you don't walk away talking about Trent Williams or Mike McGlinchey at all, they just had themselves a good afternoon. When you see both of their names trending in the third quarter, that's a bad afternoon. We saw that against Miami. No one was talking about him yesterday.
Boy, was I worried at the one moment we did talk about Trent Williams, though, when he actually went down and into the medical tent. Oh my God. But he came back, and yeah, they held up better than we ever could have expected. I mean, that's probably the best thing we can say, right? We talked about it all week. An offensive line struggling against a guy who can take advantage, and none of that happened. Good for them.
Yeah, that was the biggest upset of the day, because if you're a 49er and you go into the tent, you tend not to come out. The tent just eats you and sends you to the phantom zone.
Yeah, no, you walk in the tent and all of a sudden you're on the IR. You're like, "What? Where was I? I thought I was on the sideline." No, now you're on the IR. It's like purgatory.
Yeah. It's not a tent. It's a wormhole.
It really is, and it has been this year. Luckily, the Niners got out of that wormhole yesterday, although this is why we can't have nice things around here. Raheem Mostert has a high ankle sprain. They're worried about IR. It's going to take a week or two. And stop me if you heard this one before. 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you think? What do we know? What can we prove coming out of yesterday's game? We've got Al Michaels not far away from joining us. He was on earlier today. He is one of the greatest broadcasters of our lifetimes, and we're going to have him for you again early in the 5 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. The best commercial-free, interrupted segment anywhere in sports talk radio is coming up, 45 uninterrupted minutes, and you're going to spend an awful lot of them with Al Michaels. Stay tuned. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
It's time to cast your ballot for a better future. Take back control of your life with It's Just Lunch and set a positive agenda that benefits you. In an otherwise hectic world, one thing is certain. Dating is a higher priority for singles now more than ever. The right candidates are out there, and you can find them with the help of It's Just Lunch. For nearly three decades, It's Just Lunch has been changing lives one match at a time. We know that it's not how you date, it's who you date. And our members are serious about finding real connection. Maybe you're ready to go out for lunch or drinks at a restaurant, or maybe you'd rather start with a date prearranged for you in a virtual setting. Whatever your comfort level, our professional matchmakers make sure your dating experience is safe, low pressure, and fun. There's only so much you can control in life. With It's Just Lunch, dating is one of them. Date your way and take back control today by casting your vote for more connection and a better future. Visit itsjustlunchsanfrancisco.com or call 415-989-9818. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
From the Three Musketeers to the tricycle, the power of three is everywhere, but you've never seen it like this before, because now with Xfinity Internet, you can also save on wireless and streaming. Get internet that's packed with power, plus coast-to-coast coverage, and up to $400 in yearly savings on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And if that isn't enough, you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with a Flex 4K streaming device included at no extra cost. It's three ways to get more and save more, starting with Xfinity Internet. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get Xfinity Internet and mobile together for just $35 a month and add a Flex 4K streaming device at no extra cost. You'll get internet for 12 months with a one-year agreement and mobile with 1 gig of wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/savebig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. Ends 10/25/20. Restrictions apply. New Performance Starter Plus customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Wireless savings compares to averages of top providers. Xfinity Internet required.
We've all been there. Am I getting a cold or is it just allergies? In the case of this young lady, it's likely allergies, and it's likely from her new roommate's three cats.
That sounds right.
But I'm no professional. With Kaiser Permanente, she has access to no-cost 24/7 nurse advice. They can answer questions and set up an appointment with a doctor.
Great, thanks.
24/7 nurse advice. Just another way Kaiser Permanente brings you quality care so you can thrive. Learn more at kp.org.
Introducing touch-free payments from PayPal, the safe way to pay. Whatever you're looking for, whether it's a morning pick-me-up, a fresh haircut,
that looks great,
or someone to fix that leak, PayPal touch-free payments make paying in person safe and easy. Simply download the PayPal app, then scan, pay, and go.
Thank you.
Shop safe with PayPal touch-free payments, now in your neighborhood.
Hey, it's John Legend.
And Kelly Clarkson. We're so psyched The Voice is back.
With Blake Shelton and the return of Gwen Stefani.
Hey, so since Blake won last year, maybe we should take him down, if you know what I mean.
Actually, I'm not sure I do.
Right. Wink twice if you think I mean what I think I mean.
Okay, I'm just gonna walk away slowly.
Wait, was that a blink or a wink?
Gwen Stefani returns on the all-new season of The Voice. Blind auditions begin tonight on NBC.
T-Mobile for Business knows saving time and money is important for your business. That's why we're introducing Microsoft 365 on us, now included in our best business plans. With Office apps, Microsoft Teams, cloud storage, and more, Microsoft 365 on us gives you the tools you need to run your business. Stop by a T-Mobile store today. Qualifying plan required. Contactless to activate. One license per line. Max 2 per account. Third-party terms apply. See T-Mobile.com for plan details.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, our conversation with Al Michaels from NBC Sports. Obviously, he had the call Sunday night. Speaking of calls, you're not going to hear Doc Emmert anymore. One of the greatest broadcasters in hockey history is hanging up the microphone. We even asked Al Michaels about that. We asked Al Michaels about the Golden Gate Bridge, him being accused of painting with words. Of course, Bay Area. Of course, you're going to try to jump down Al Michaels' throat for saying, geez, that's a pretty bridge. And we talked to him about the Apple campus shot. So, I mean, this is stuff that you're going to want to stay tuned for. It's full deep dive into everything Al Michaels is thinking about coming up here in just a little bit. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. That is what you got here right now. Kyle Shanahan was talking about how Aaron Donald was kept at bay last night by his offensive line. Here he is.
It's a huge challenge. I mean, he's as good of a player as you just said. Everyone knows that. You know, I thought our O-line did a very good job. I mean, you try to avoid him as much as possible, and I think we were able to do that for the most part today. Rarely does that happen, but, you know, I thought our guys were up for the challenge. They knew what was ahead of them, and they came out and did as good as they could in that area.
Really is amazing, guys. Neither team recorded a sack last night. Both quarterbacks were pretty much kept up and clean. I'm stunned that Garoppolo is in that conversation. I guess I'm a little bit disappointed that the 49ers didn't get to Goff once. He seems eminently sackable, but they couldn't get to him last night.
He actually had a big running play on a 3rd and 9 that kept the Rams in the game potentially.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was just one of those nights when both offensive lines did well, because Goff with time wasn't very good. So maybe being pressured might have improved his game, might have sharpened his instincts.
I don't know about that, but he sure was not sharp. That's a fact.
Yeah, Goff last night averaged 5.2 yards per attempt from Pro Football Focus. He completed just 50% of his passes. He was only pressured on 8 dropbacks. He completed just 1 of his 7 passes while being pressured. You know, we kept on talking last week that 3 touchdowns was like the sinkable number. If he throws for 3, the Niners are going to lose. Well, he only threw for 2 and the interception to Verrett, and the Niners end up winning the game. And we've already kind of talked about this, but there was a point in time where he was airmailing things he was throwing to open grass. It looked like that's either how he chose to give up on plays or he was looking for receivers to run different routes than they were running. It was really inexplicable, some of the things that Goff did with that football and the placement last night. And I don't know if that was bad game, bad throw, or the work of a genius who knows that when it's time to get rid of it, you just throw it where people ain't. I'm bending more towards I'm curious more than I think this man is a genius throwing it where people ain't.
I think it was a crowd noise that really bothered him.
Definitely. You don't want to go into Levi's with at least 10,000 cardboard cutouts and think you're going to have a good afternoon.
Yeah, it was a good night for the office supplies, too.
Really was.
No, I couldn't figure out what Goff was doing or how he was doing it. It's one of those games, and, you know, 49er fans think they've cornered the market on this when, in fact, they haven't, where you just look at Jared Goff and go, is this the guy? And then a week later, you're watching them play somebody else. You're going, yeah, this is the guy. And I think a lot of quarterbacks might be like that, where they just go, you know what? We don't know what we're getting from week to week. Kansas City has one, but I don't know how many others do. I mean, you know, Josh Allen has not played well tonight. They're going to end up losing by 9, you know, but Josh Allen has had as good a year as anybody. So I really think that the difference between the quarterback who's good every week and everybody else is a pretty wide margin, because there are only about 2 or 3 of them who are good every week.
I think it's a few more than that. But, yeah, that there's a big difference, and you can pretty much see where it is. I don't know that Brady or Breeze still get in that conversation. They're old enough that there's some inconsistency, but we know who they are. Lamar Jackson's going to have a big positive impact. Aaron Rodgers, yesterday notwithstanding, is going to have a big positive impact. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, who Ray mentioned already. You know, it's maybe five or six when you list them all, but Jimmy's never going to be that. I think we know that. So the question is he good enough to justify whatever you're going to end up having to pay him? And boy, he's right on that line, man. That's the thing we're going to be focused on more than anything the rest of the year, is my suspicion.
It's a fascinating case study because he really does exist in between two worlds.
Yep.
I mean, he really, really does. He is clearly the best quarterback that this team has offered to you since the height of Kaepernick, or you go all the way back to Jeff Garcia. Clearly, that's who he is. But he is clearly an incomplete, flawed, not quite to the standard of dependable, just based on, you know, he's been unavailable in every year he's ever played, but for last year, and that's already happened this year, for goodness sakes. So he is caught in between. He's caught in between who you want him to be, who he really is, and what the expectations are around here, which is never fair. It's never generous. No one errs on the side of patience when it comes to evaluating 49ers quarterbacks. People want to retry the case week by week. I just think now we need to settle on the fact that regardless of what you do or do not like about Jimmy Garoppolo, there is no one who is a better stabilizer of the Niners' chances to win. When he's in there, they got a shot. They got a chance. And you can say, well, it's not him necessarily, or it's more representative of the hope that he gets. Like, whatever. I don't even care anymore. Like, when he is in there beating the Niners in two consecutive regular season games, has not happened. Like, I can't explain it, because it feels like with some of the performances that he's had, that would have happened by now. Like, I mean, I do in many ways expect the worst, and then when the results are positive, you go, well, how did we get here? What brought us to yet another win on a day where Jimmy didn't dazzle, but he didn't make any crucial errors either? I mean, that's really it. If you're a quarterback whose number one trait is avoiding the big mistake, you might be better than the rest right now. And I'm not even saying that that's Jimmy's biggest trait. He does not avoid the one mistake. He'll jump you right into it. But when he does play an error-free football game, there's a very good chance the Niners won that day.
No doubt. I think the trick with Jimmy, and this was one of the things I took some notes on yesterday, is how often is that mistake-free football a function of the other team simply not capitalizing on the mistakes he did make? As an example, or like lucky, like that first throw he missed that went off Kittle's hands popped right up in the air. If there had been a defender within 3 yards of George Kittle, that would have been an interception. That throw at the goal line, if Trent Taylor doesn't break it up, is probably an interception, and that guy might still be running as he sprinted 100 yards to the opposite end zone. The, you know, throw he missed by 6 feet to Kyle Juszczyk. Again, no one was there to catch it, but there's some luck involved in that, you know? Or the weird incompletion he threw when he seemed to be trying to pump fake it. That's four mistakes right there that any one of them could have totally changed the game. And as it happened, either due to luck or opponent incompetence, none of those mistakes got capitalized on. And when that happens, the stats look good, the Niners win, everything's good. But sometimes I wonder if what Jimmy essentially does is play a pretty good game, except for the four times that he leaves it up to the opponent, whether they want to ruin it or not.
Well, that would seem to make him Jared Goff. and maybe better, maybe a little better than Jared Goff, because I
think or Jared Goff, who in this case the opponents capitalized less than the Niners did against Goff.
Yeah, I mean, and I think most, I mean, I do believe that all, I mean, and I said three earlier because I was talking about like elite guys that are always, always good. But there have been weeks this week where Lamar Jackson has not looked very good. And I think most quarterbacks have a couple of games like that. And maybe how you define quarterbacks ought to be how many times they make you go, how could you be that bad? And if it's only once or twice a year, you've got an elite quarterback.
Yeah. It's not unfair to say that that is the new standard. How much does he make you want to gouge your eyes out? How many times per year? If it's less than two times per year, you're cooking with something. Kyle Shanahan talked about how Jimmy Garoppolo, if nothing else, has got a little resiliency.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most impressive things about Jimmy. You know, where when you think the pressure might get to him and stuff, which it, you would think it does to everybody. I mean, it is human nature, and it's a very tough position. I mean, whether you play good or bad, if the result's not good, you're going to get questioned a lot, and people are going to point the finger at a quarterback a lot. And the tough game that our whole team had in Miami with him getting taken out there in that game, yeah, it was tough. But the way he came into work on Monday, you couldn't tell. I mean, he's very mentally strong. When things happen like that, he does a very good job of not listening to it. I know everyone says that, but I think Jimmy really does simplify his world and not try to really – he's not really involved in a lot of that stuff. I mean, the more narrow you can be really as a coach, as a quarterback, and just focusing on what you do in the building and the family that you hang out at home, I think helps a lot that way. I think Jimmy does that as well as any quarterback I've been around. When you are having people on you like that and you come in to work on Monday and then you go into the huddle on Wednesday and practice and guys can hear in your voice how you call a play, kind of how you walk around. I mean, he walks confident and tall each day. I mean, he doesn't have the demeanor of a guy who's worried about much. He has a demeanor of a guy who has a lot of confidence and believes he's going to win. And I think that's the coolest part about him, because whether he's playing good or bad, our team believes in him. And you can see how those guys are in the huddle. And when Jimmy's in there, you can tell the team believes. And that's one of the most important things. Have given us a chance to win.
There you go. It's not the most intelligent bird out there, but boy, the peacock, when it does the big pluming of the feathers, it looks like it's really something to be considered. And that's what Jimmy is. He is like the Niners peacock. He makes everybody go, damn, this looks pretty good after all, year in, year out. I mean, he really is the guy that seems to be someone who knows how to get the best out of his teammates. Last week was a terrible example of him being that guy. This past week was a very good example of him being that guy. And I want to welcome all of you, guys and gals, to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Ray, Matt, I'm getting ready to do the show this morning. I'm flipping around. I got Cowherd on. I got whatever he's ESPN on. I'm flipping around. Just, you know, who's talking football. And if anybody's talking Niners, that's where I stop and listen to see what they're talking about. And one of the things that you heard an awful lot about, and I know that we were discussing earlier, was that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw the ball downfield very much. And of all the quarterbacks in football, no quarterback has a higher percentage of passing yards that have come after the catch than Jimmy G, where he is 68% of all of his passing yards have come on the legs from his wide receivers, not necessarily the air he put under the ball to get to the wide receivers. And people use that as a demerit. And it's funny, you have to know what it is we're doing around here. But what Kyle Shanahan is doing around here to know that it's easy to misinterpret as a lack of, but it's actually exactly what Kyle is drawing up. It's the plan. It might not be the sexy plan. It might not be the same plan that Andy Reid or Bill Belichick had. It might not be the plan that John Gruden has, where he's like, hey, we're going to just throw it deep 10 times during the day, and if we hit on three of them, that's how we win in Kansas City. It's the opposite of that. It's the exact opposite of that. And the amount of people in this country who do not get that, that are covering football, it's a widespread number, let's just say. There are a lot of people who do not understand the system that Kyle has installed, has drafted for, and is actually getting the most out of right now.
Yeah, no, but I wonder if that's a function of the quarterback. Like, if he had a different guy, would he do it differently? And that doesn't, that's not to defend to anybody who misunderstands the system, but is the system because Jimmy Garoppolo is the QB and Kyle Shanahan doesn't particularly want him throwing downfield if he can avoid it? And I think the answer to that is certainly at least partly yes.
Well, if this is the only way Kyle Shanahan can coach an offense, then he's not nearly as good a coach as we think he is. I would suspect, as you just said, that he basically coaches to the players he's got. And the difference is that this team, unlike any other team he's ever had, is his team. He picked the groceries, and he's doing the cooking with the groceries he picked. So he's not going to buy ground beef and then try to make turkey. It's this is what he's got, and this is what he coaches to. And it's why I've always wondered why people hate the idea of the word game manager. If your coach wants you to manage a game, you manage the game. You know, well, the only question is not how you look doing it, but whether you won at the end of the day, because this is the most.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.